Well, our readings today confront us with our own weaknesses and limitations, something that we're never really very interested in thinking about. But we hear about, in the first reading today, the prophet Ezekiel and Jesus in the gospel. Both of them are unsuccessful, are failures at trying to proclaim their message to the people that they are sent to. Jesus can hardly even work any miracles in his hometown because of their great lack of faith. And then in the second reading, of course, St. Paul just flat out says that he has been given this thorn in the flesh, this angel of Satan to beat him. We're not told exactly what that is, but he obviously experiences it as a great weakness in his life, a great sense of helplessness and uselessness. Now, why does God allow that to happen? I mean, surely we'd all be better witnesses, we might think, of God's love and power and whatnot if we were always powerful and successful in life. So why does God allow us to experience weakness? Well, St. Paul is very clear on that as well. He says, "When I am weak, then I am strong in Christ." But what does that mean? What is this experience of power in weakness all about? We can see two ways in which this happens. First, when we experience God's power in the midst of our own weakness. Second, when others are able to experience God's power through our weakness. And we have two saints that can help us think about these two ways. First of all, St. Paul himself. So St. Paul, again, says very clearly that he has experienced in his life great weakness, great sense of helplessness and uselessness. And why has he experienced this? He knows that this is, as he says, something that God has sent him so that he does not become too elated, right? Too proud, too self-reliant. Again, we don't know exactly what this thorn in the flesh that he was given is. Scripture scholars, of course, have speculated on many things. That's their job, I guess. There's for example, a throwaway comment in one of St. Paul's epistles that leads some scholars to think that he had a very weak eyesight. And you can imagine someone like St. Paul, who spent his life traveling around all over the place, how that would have been a real handicap, a real limitation, that couldn't see well what he was doing. He may have felt like, I can't do my job very well without being able to see. Or again, we know from St. Paul's own writings that although when he wrote letters to different churches, they were very powerful and confident and charismatic, you know, that when he was there in person preaching, he was actually not a very dynamic preacher. In fact, he was pretty boring. There's a story in the Acts of the Apostles where St. Paul gets preaching one night and goes on for a really long time. And there's a young man who actually falls asleep in the middle of that homily. I'm sure that never happens around here. Falls asleep, but he's sitting on the windowsill, and he actually falls out the window and dies, you know. So you may think you have sat through some bad homilies, but none of you have died yet. Now, luckily, St. Paul raises him from the dead quite wonderfully, but I don't know that it necessarily helped his preaching a whole lot. So again, you can imagine what a limitation, what a weakness that would have been for St. Paul, that his very vocation in life to go and spread the gospel, that he's really not that terribly good at. And so he could have said, you know, in this experience of weakness, I should just quit. You know, I can't see well, or I can't preach well. I'm just going to stay here in one place. People like my letters better than my homilies. I'll just stay here and write letters, right? But that is not what he did. He continued in faith to go about and fulfill his vocation, to do the job that God had entrusted to him. That's what we're hearing in the letter that we heard today, him reflecting on how He continued to do that work, and eventually he saw God bring to fulfillment those things that he had set out to do in God's own time, in God's own way, despite his weakness and limitations. And so he experienced in that the power of God. He came to recognize that it was not his own power, but the power of God that had brought this about. So that's one way, of course, in which we experience God's power. We might say, well, I feel like a failure sometimes. I feel like a failure in my marriage or a failure with my children. I never achieve the goals I set out for myself around the house or around the office. I never am able to please my boss. That's an experience of weakness in our lives. Now, we can say, well, I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to try anymore because I'm not succeeding. But if instead we continue in faith, doing what we know is our job, fulfilling the vocation that God has set out for us, then eventually we will see God achieve what he wants to achieve in his own time and in his own way, and we will understand that it is not our power that has accomplished this, but it is the power of God. And so we will experience that humility and that joy that comes from knowing Christ in weakness. So that's one reason that God allows us to experience weakness, that we personally might also experience his power. But now the second way, or reason, is that God allows us to experience weakness sometimes so that others might know his power. And we can see this in another great saint that I love. We just celebrated her feast day this past Friday, Saint Maria Goretti. And she's kind of a special patron of mine, probably because back when I was a seminarian, someone entrusted me with a relic of St. Maria Goretti. So she's always been kind of near and dear to my heart. I'll put this relic down in front of the baptismal font after Mass. So if you want to take a look at it, venerate it, bless yourself with it, you're certainly welcome to do that. But St. Maria shows this experience of God's power working in others' lives through her weakness. Perhaps you know the story. Maria was the daughter of a very poor Italian family. Her father had actually died, and each day her mother and her older siblings had to go out and work in the fields. Her job was to stay home with the youngest child and to care for the house and so forth. She was not quite 12 years old. But what happened was that the 19-year-old son of their landlord, Alessandro, he conceived an evil lust for Maria. And one day he found her and he threatened her that if she did not give in to his evil lusts, that he would kill her. And she would not give in. She resisted. She said, "No, Alessandro, it is a sin. It is a sin. You will go to hell." And although he tried to choke her into submission, she continued to refuse. And so he did, in the end, stab her with a sharp tool 14 times. And 2 days later, she died in great pain from her injuries in the hospital. Now, you probably can't find a more clear example of weakness. There was literally nothing that she could do in that situation that could have probably saved her. She was utterly weak, utterly useless and defenseless against her attacker. And yet we don't think of her as helpless in a way, as useless, certainly not. We think of her as a martyr for chastity. And what happened from this great weakness that she experienced at her death? Her attacker, Alessandro, he was, of course, in prison for many, many years. But while he was in prison, he saw a vision of Maria in which she assured him that she had forgiven him. And that changed his life. He was converted. And in fact, the year that he was finally released from prison, he and Maria's mother went to Christmas Mass together. They received Holy Communion together. He was there when Maria was canonized a saint. Imagine that. I wonder if they had like police around him to keep make sure nobody went after him. But he eventually became a monk. So you can see how he experienced the power of God in her weakness. And not just him, the whole church ever after has been changed. Our whole understanding of our faith and of God has been changed through the life of this one young, beautiful girl who gave her life as an offering to chastity. Today, all of us can look to her as an example, especially, of course, our young women, our teenage girls. She's a special patron of teenage girls to help them grow in understanding the importance of chastity and modesty and living according to God's law and plan for sexuality and so forth. And so all that influence that she has had on the church, on our lives, all because of that experience of great weakness. And through that great weakness, we have experienced the power of Christ. So that also is the reason that God sometimes allows us to experience weakness. We might say, why does it seem like this plan, this job that I'm trying to do never works out? I feel so weak. I feel so helpless. But if we are faithful in doing what we know is right, we can be sure that although we may never know anything about it, others will experience through our weakness the great power of God. So let us have the faith that whenever we experience weakness, failure, helplessness, limitations in our lives, that God's power is there, if only we have the eyes to see it. And let us, as we come to the table of Christ today to receive the Eucharist, let the Eucharist enter into us and help us to experience the strength, the power of Christ, even in our weakness, so that we can also share that strength, share that power through our weakness with all those that we meet today.